options on a Sunday. So much to do. You put an ad in the paper on Saturday and there's your list of everything going on.
Amen.
Sunday is no longer reverenced in this country.
Amen.
You on your way to church, you see folks doing some of everything.
Amen.
We're not thinking about the things of God no more until God deals with us. Amen. We're going to turn, once again, we're studying the parables. We're going to turn to another very familiar one, the parable of the true vine, found in John chapter 15. We're going to look at eight verses of John chapter 15. We're still talking about salvation, living the Christian life, living the saved life. What's it mean to be saved? What's it mean to be born again? How do we live this Christian life out? Interesting. Interesting. Interesting times. John 15. If you can, let's stand in reverence of God's word. Amen. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away.
Amen.
And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth.
Yes,
that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you.
Amen.
Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in the vine.
Amen.
I am the vine. Ye are the branches.
Mm-hmm.
He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit.
Yes, sir.
For without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burnt. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you.
Amen.
Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit.
Amen.
So shall ye be my disciples. Amen. Father, thank you for your precious word. Thank you for being such a wonderful father and husbandman that you would send down from heaven the true vine. Father God, there may be some in here today not connected, connected but not bearing fruit. And those in here that are bearing fruit but can bear more. Father God, we ask that you would just deal with us today through your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. I am the true vine. We're going to talk today on the subject of becoming genuine disciples. Becoming genuine disciples. And as Jesus walked through the Garden of Gethsemane throughout Jerusalem, he would look up and see vines of all sorts. And I'm sure he, on his way to Calvary's cross, on his way to be arrested, he looked up and looked at these vines and looked at the disciples that had been with him for 3.5 years. And now he was going to be gone away. And he was giving them one last exhortation, one last word of encouragement. Stand abide. Stay connected.
Yes.
Stay connected.
Yes, sir.
We live in a day and age where many churches are doing everything they can to grow, to attract business. And I hate to use the terms like that, but we live in a day and age where we're doing everything we can to attract business. We're almost like the theme parks and ball games. We're doing everything we can to attract people because people mean success. But I'm here to tell you, success doesn't mean abiding in Jesus Christ. On yesterday, I was talking to a man. I had sat down and I was talking to a man, and the subject went to church. And I asked him what church he belonged to, and he said he belongs to a church that my aunt had that my aunt belongs to. And I asked him, did he know my aunt? He said, no, we don't go there anymore. He said we were looking for a church that had activities and things to do where our children could have activities and sleepovers and lock-ins and Cedar Point trips and children's church. He's going to a church now where they have children's church where all the children run in the basement and they watch VeggieTales movies and things like that. And not once did he mention he was looking for a church where Jesus Christ was being preached. Another conversation, that was a longer than usual introduction, but I had these conversations this week and they just stuck with me. And I talked to a man who had visited a mega church and he had traveled out of town. He had visited a mega church and he was just fascinated by the size of the church and the fact that the pastor boasted about the offerings. And he was telling me that he stood in and said, well, you know, this is a good offering this week. We took in $216,000 this week. And compared to last week when we took in a measly $166,000. And he went on to tell me about the parking lot attendants and how they were just traffic cops, everybody outside, you know, pulling the traffic in. And if I wasn't mistaken, I thought he said he had visited Madison Square Garden for a Knicks game, and LeBron was in town, and he was telling me about all he had gotten there early, and the lights, and the stage, and they was there putting everything together, and the cameras, and the lights, and the audio, and the video, and it was just a massive production. Mega. And he said the pastor came out and preached exactly 22 minutes. Because when you're on TV, you have one half an hour. And you have to be in there half an hour. Then you spend the last 8 minutes asking for donations and money.
Amen.
Talked about how the church was raising money. He just talked about money and how, you know, they just took out a $3 million loan to build something else. And I thought there probably was a all-Christian golf course or something they were building. Let me get one more in this rather long introduction. I just want to open it, just share this with you because, you know, I just have some fascinating things happen to me during the week, you know. So sometimes I miss making a phone call, but, you know, I get a friendly reminder. Hey, Doris. This is interesting here. I have to give you one prison story a week. I know once I quit working in prison, I don't know what I'm going to talk about. Let me give you a prison. I'm going to give you this prison. This happened. This is a true story. So I'm coming into work and we have to go be processed in. You have to go through the metal detectors and everything. And you have to take off your belt and all your watches and whatever makes cause the metal detector go off. So I was coming into work and the chaplain was coming in and he was before me. And conversation started on the chaplain, you know, and one of the warehouse guys, native know what I'm talking about now. So one of the warehouse guys who's godless, just a godless individual, And he calls the chaplain out. He said, "You know, chaplain," because the chaplain comes in, he got the polo shirt on, he got the little baseball hat on, and you know, he said, "Chaplain, you want the coolest guy. You gotta be the coolest chaplain in the world." And I'm sitting here like, that was insulting. And I'm saying, "You're the pastor of a prison, the darkest, most evil, wretched place known to man, and the most worldly individual in the prison is saying that you're the coolest person in the prison. The coolest chaplain he ever met." And that just bothers me. I don't think any of us in here who goes by the name of Christian ought to be the coolest Christian that they ever met. Basically what this individual was saying is, "You are about the most inoffensive chaplain that I've ever met." We ought to be an offense to a lost world.
Amen.
We ought to be an offense to a lost world. We ought not be, you know, I tell people, I've been working at that prison, and I've been 20 years. And a lady asked me, I think I saved this story. If I did, hang in there with me. And I have never been invited to a wedding, a graduation party, anything.
Amen.
Anything. And she asked me, somebody had a graduation party. I've never been invited to a graduation party. And I know how to give. You know, I know how to bring the envelope. But I have never been invited to anything that anyone has done there. And I thought about it. I was like, wow, that's interesting. That's interesting. That's interesting. So Jesus had a word for these type of Christians and these type of preachers and these type of ministries. Okay? And this ministry too. So we can do a whole lot of stuff on our own strength. Okay? So if you want to be a thug Christian, cool Christian, sexy Christian, hip-hop Christian, a gay Christian, a Democratic Christian, a Republican Christian, a bar-hopping Christian, fornicating Christian. I mean, we got everybody's Christian. Okay? This sermon should help. It should help. Because a lot of churches have removed the cross, the pews, and take the pews out of the church. I mean, we want to make the world, when the world comes into the church, we don't want them to think they're in church. That's the whole idea. Okay? We want them to come into our church and think they're out at the club so they'd be comfortable. Then we can preach to them. So we take out the cross, the pews. A lot of churches don't even have pulpits anymore. Okay, they take the pulpit out. They take out the Bible. Don't bring the Bible. We got it up. Don't even bring that Bible. You don't have to worry carrying that around. We don't want nobody to see you carrying the Bible to church. So they take out the cross, the pews, the pulpit, the Bible, and they take Jesus out. Because you can talk to a whole lot of Christians a long, long time, and they don't talk about Jesus. They'll talk about their preacher. And they talk about their pastor and their choir and their music guy. But Jesus had a different message for them. In verse 15, he said this. In verse 1. I'm done with that rather long introduction. He said, I am. I'm going to stop right there and preach 9 sermons. He said, "I am." This is the last one. The true vine is the last one. But he said, "I am the living bread." And what he meant, when you eat this bread, it ain't coming back out. Okay? It's going to live inside of you. You know, I know some folks in here, hearing the word of God, they say, "Well, it ain't living, it's in you." Okay? You're going to deal with this word that's being preached into your soul, into your spirit. You're going to deal with it. Okay, how do I know, how you know, preacher? God said his word will not return void. Okay, And he said, I am from above. Not another teacher or religious ruler could ever say that they came from above. Jesus said, I am from above. How about that? Then he said, I am the light of the world. We talked about this morning in Sunday school. He said, I am the light of the world. And we ought to be shine like, we ought to shine like lights too. When we walk into a dark situation or area or environment, we ought to shine. It ought to be like solar lights. My wife, I have a fantasy with lights. I got lights, solar lights all over around the house. But they don't shine in the daytime. At least they shouldn't be on now. But when it gets dark, they shine. See, some of us can only shine when it's shiny. When it gets dark, we don't shine. Christianity disappears. All that religious talk disappears when it gets dark in our world. Then he says, before Abraham was, I am. He was talking to the Jewish people who loved them some Abraham. Loved them some Abraham. Now I tell you, the Jews' teaching was that Abraham stood outside the gates of hell, wouldn't let a Jew in hell. Then he said, I am the door. I like that one. He said, I am the door. You know what? You know what he meant by that? There's only one way in heaven. One way in. And I don't care how many books you read, or I'm going to spend 30 minutes in heaven. Listen, nobody spent 30 minutes in heaven, came back and wrote a book about it. And he said, I am the good shepherd. Yeah. I am the good shepherd. How many know there's some bad shepherds out there?
All right.
There's some bad stuff floating around the world of Christianity. Amen. But Jesus said, I'm the good shepherd. How could he say that? Because he came from above. And God is good. Then he said, I am the resurrection and the life. Mm-hmm. Everybody else that was resurrected died. Lazarus died. Then he said, I am the way,
yes,
the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but through me. And y'all know I love that one. And those that was out here when we was fishing on a mission, we talked about Paul and how he stood in Mars Hill, stood there flat footed, toe to toe with the most powerful thinkers of that day, and preached the simple message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Word of God said he opened up the scriptures to them, and they couldn't argue with him because he taught them the truth. And then last, he said, I am the true vine. He said, I am the true vine. Okay. By saying he's the true vine, he's saying there's some false ones out there. There's some false vines out there. You can get connected to them. And you know what? You'll be on the wrong vine at harvest time. You'll be on the wrong vine at harvest time. And I know many of you in here that's my age remember when we was little. My father's in here and I'm getting ready to tell him myself. But my mother loved them plastic fruit. And I remember going, just about everybody's house had a bowl of plastic fruit on the table. And we always would be eating on them. Everywhere I went, you would turn them around. And they, my brothers and sisters would go ahead, eat it. It's real. And I'd bite that thing. And I believe some of y'all done that before too. I'm not the only one in here that bit some plastic fruit because we, but that's what we did. But when you on the wrong vine, what happens is you are artificial. You have an artificial religion, an artificial faith, and an artificial faith ain't gonna cut it in the last day. You need to make sure you're on the true vine. This is what Jesus said. He said, I am the true vine. Then he backs it up. And he said, how do you know you're the true vine? Because my daddy is the husbandman, is the gardener, runs the whole plantation. That's how I know I am the true vine. He said, I am the true vine and my father is the husbandman. That's interesting. That's interesting. How do we get on this vine? See, that ought to be the question. Somebody ought to be saying, okay, I need to know how to get on this vine. Because I really believe I'm on the wrong vine. Because what I'm producing, I know it ain't of God. That's how you know if you're on the wrong vine. Are you producing the right stuff? Okay? Are you producing the right stuff? Is the right stuff coming out of you? When you open your mouth, does the right stuff come out of you? Because the Word of God says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Your mouth will tell you quickly whether or not you are on the true vine. When you get into a situation, a dark situation, a bad situation, quickly your response to that situation will let you know whether or not you're on the true vine. How you respond to that? Well, how do you get on the true vine? Well, first of all, you must be born again.
All right.
Oh, we don't like to talk about that. But this Baptist church and Baptist folks talk about being saved. That's what they say. Baptist folks are always trying to save folks. We ought to. That's what it's all about.
Amen.
We ought to be trying to save some folks. So first of all, to get on this vine, you have to experience the new birth, the new birth.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Oh, let me talk about the new birth.
All right.
You realize that you are a sinner. Okay? And the fact that you realize that you are a sinner, you are convicted in that sin. Okay? And you feel a sensing and an urging from God that I need to get right with God. Okay? Second thing, they respond to His call of faith. And they accept Jesus Christ's finished work on Calvary's cross. This is the second step. And then lastly, they confess Jesus as Savior and Lord. And what He done on Calvary's cross freed me from my sin. And now I am saved by not what I do. By what God has done. That's salvation. Now you have to ask yourself, am I saved? That has to happen. Romans 10:9. It has to happen. I hate this scripture so much I ought to have it memorized. But it says, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shall believe in thy heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved.
Yeah.
Oh, it sounds simple. But believing in a resurrected Christ is not easy. And it takes a supernatural act of God to equip and empower a person to believe. You can't believe on your own. You sit here thinking, well, I decided to get myself together. You are in the wrong place. Because in the flesh, we're only going to decide to do one of three things. Kill, steal, and destroy. The last thing on our mind when we was unsaved was getting saved. And if you saved in here, it took a supernatural act of the Holy Ghost to deliver you. And nobody in here saved because they wanted to be. Born in sin. And if it wasn't for God, you die in sin. So he said, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, He taketh away. Oh, that's a great lesson in reproduction. What do you mean, Pastor? I've been going to this church for 20 years, 30 years. I've been saved all my life. I've been saved all my life. No, you haven't. There had to come a time in every one of us in here that you were born again.
Amen.
You weren't born saved.
Right.
Yeah.
Nicodemus thought that he came to Jesus by night. And he was the ruler of the Jews, the most knowledgeable and wisest man in the whole city. And Jesus said, you know what, Nicodemus, your problem is?
Yeah.
You need to be born again.
Yeah.
Must be born again. He got a little jazzy. He got a little jazzy with Jesus. What do you think? I got to climb up into my mother's womb? You know what I'm talking about. Yeah. You know what he was talking about. See, once you're in Christ, now you in a position where you can bear fruit. And people say, well, that's hard. That's what a super saint. That's what a deacons and a pastor and a usher. No. Nothing could be further from the truth. Nothing could be further from the truth. If you're in Christ, connected to the vine, you're going to bear fruit.
Yeah.
That vine is not out there working. You don't see that. That vine has one job. And that's to provide nutrients and sap to the branches. Now the branches, when I say branches, I mean Christians. That's all we are. We branches. Okay? Now a branch ain't working. Branch ain't doing nothing but staying connected. He ain't even doing that. He's connected. And all he's doing is enjoying the sap. Enjoying the sap. And the fruit just appears. Now if you abide in Christ, then you in God's will, you're living for the Lord, and everyone can see it. This is some visible stuff. You're not going to tell me you abide in Christ and nobody knows it. Oh no, you're not abiding in Christ. If everybody don't know you as Christian, as being someone that's born again, someone that's saved, they ought to call you a holy roller. Nothing wrong with that.
All right.
Okay?
Amen.
Hey, I'm called a whole lot of stuff. So, are you abiding? Are you a branch? Are you connected? Look what verse 2 says. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away.
Uh-huh.
Now that word taken away, we can get in trouble with it. That word taken away means that branch has fallen to the ground.
Right.
Some of us who had grapevines coming up, and when we lived on Superior Street, we had grapevines all through the backyard. Okay? And we went out there every year. We ate grapes. But over the years, you know, because no one took care of them, no one pruned them, they become wild. Some of the branches would lay on the ground. Okay? Because they had no one tending the garden, they would just be walked on or stomped on or just rot out. And then what he's saying here is if you're not bearing fruit, you're taking away, you laying in the ground, laying in the dirt, laying in the mud. And when the mud covers you up, it sounds like I'm talking about some saved folks that can't bear fruit because you're covered in the mud, in the mire, in your sin. You're so covered in sin in the world, you can't receive light. So what a good gardener does, he'll come into your life and lift you up out of that and rinse off those branches and prop you up so you can receive light. Now when you receive light, now you're in a position where you can grow and prosper. Oh, but we don't have to be in the dirt, because when God lifts you up, he's doing, his ways aren't our ways. He may put you in a position where you can receive light, but it may be in a hospital bed.
Yeah.
Some of us receive light in a hospital bed. It may be in a jail room. Some folks been running around in the dirt. God just had to incarcerate them and just put them in a position where all they can see is God.
Amen.
Oh, he might take you to the courthouse. Then you would cry out for God. God may put you in a position where you need to cry out for God. Oh, we don't have to. We know how we're living. We need to shake that devil off. Say, God, give me strength to rise up out of this dirt. We need to pray for our loved ones. We got loved ones living in the dirt. Living in the dirt. Covered by dirt. Can't receive light. And we have to pray for them. Pray for our loved ones. So God would take them away. Lift them up. Clean them up. Because we're supposed to produce. Notice the progression here. He says he went from not fruit in verse 2. Okay? He take them away. And every branch that bear fruit. So we're designed to bear fruit.
Amen.
That's interesting. We're designed to bear fruit. And every year in Palestine and Jerusalem, they would prune them grapevines all the way down.
Yeah.
All the way down. And it's painful.
Yeah.
Purging or pruning is painful. I told you the story about Cindy and I that we had the burning bushes and I pruned them babies all the way down. And they was about this big. And she hit the ceiling. She come home, pulled in the driveway. I said, well, they'll come back. She ain't talked to me the rest of the day. And they came back. It was beautiful.
Yeah.
And if anyone in here right now is bearing fruit, you've been pruned. You've been purged. Oh, what kind of father doesn't discipline his children?
Right.
Some folks say, well, what are you talking about, preacher? Bearing fruit. I get elementary with this stuff. Because I know, it's how I study. Because I have to ask this question myself. How does one bear fruit? What do you mean, bearing fruit? Somebody turn to Colossians chapter 1. We're going to talk about bearing fruit real quick. Bearing fruit. We was at the mega church. We just look up on the screen. Be up there already.
Amen.
You don't need a Bible. Just turn, look at the screen. Leave them Bibles at home. Colossians 1, verse 9. It says, for this cause we also, since the day we heard it. Heard what? Heard the word and understood it. Every time you see that word heard, it means understood it. Do not cease to pray for you. Here we go. And desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding.
Amen.
There's Apostle Paul. Now he's preaching out of a doggone jail. He's saying we praying that you would not, but that you would get, some knowledge and some understanding. Mm-hmm. Of what? Of his will. In all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Why, Paul? That ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing. Stop right there. Same thought. We ought to walk worthy. Paul said it again in Ephesians 4. We ought to walk worthy of the vocation wherewith we've been called. How, Paul? In all lowliness and meekness and long suffering, forbearing one another in love. Christianity is not easy. I can understand why a whole lot of folks ain't saved and a lot of folks got artificial fruit. Because we want to be saved to the point where we got, I call it, bling Christianity. Mm. Got the swap meet Christianity from the flea market. Got your Gucci bag. And you paid $30 for it. Handle fall off. Put nothing in it. See, I say that, but Christianity is difficult. It says that you may walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing. That's not easy.
Amen.
To walk a way where you've got the Lord of the universe watching you. Who wanna walk like that? Walking in fear. Not a fear that God's going to strike you down, but you know what? I don't see, God sees. I sit up here and preach all day. And live like a fool as soon as I leave the pulpit.
Amen.
But guess what? Y'all may not see it. Paul told Timothy, some men's sins are evident to all.
Yeah.
And some men's sins follow them into the grave.
All right.
Okay? Nobody going to find out but God.
Amen.
Look at this. That you may walk. That you might. That word might is a word that means strength. For real, that's what it means. It don't mean some happenstance thing. It says that you might. That word denotes power. That word means dunamis. That you may walk in power. Walking worthy of the Lord takes power.
Amen.
Unto all pleasing. Somebody told me this just yesterday. And you know what? Anybody could be a thug. It ain't. And it is not hard. Just get go. You know, I mean, they got tattoo shops on every corner.
Right.
Save folks.
Amen.
Tattooing their bodies all up, even after they know what the Lord is saying about it. Now, I know this. You get a tattoo before you got saved. That's fine. That's fine. You didn't know no better. But when you come to the understanding that God's word says in Leviticus. My deacon in training was supposed to kick it right out to me. We were just studying it. All right. That's going to be your exam. But 19 and 28. We are not to mark our body. We are not to put nobody's name on our body. That's the worst thing you can do. I know you love your loved ones. I understand you love your loved ones, but they're not God. And if you love them, preach God's word to them. That's the greatest act of love you can do to your loved ones. Wait for them to get their head blown off and then write their name all over your body. Oh, I know they do it. When you know better, you do better. Paul says, "Walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing." How, Paul? Being fruitful. There's our word. In every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. A child of God ought to be increasing in knowledge. Listen, I don't understand a Christianity. A person tells me, I've been saved, I've been washed in the blood, I've been delivered from sin, and don't have a desire for prayer, Bible study, praise and worship, fellowship with other believers. I just don't even, that kind of Christianity is artificial. You like the fruit on the table. Plastic. You've been delivered from hell and all damnation. And we got to beg you to come to Bible study, beg you to come to Sunday school, beg you to come to prayer meeting, beg you to read the Bible, beg you to bake a pie. That's artificial.
Yeah.
Amen.
That's bootleg Christianity. That's like hooch. You can't get a hooch when you can drink the real thing. I got a bag of wine in a garbage bag, and I got a bag of Martini and Rossi. That came from the Holy Ghost. I don't have it for real. I'm just, you know, that came off kind of quick, but let me explain that. Now, which one do you want?
Yeah, which one?
Which one you want? You want the hoops or you want the Martini and Rossi? Let me stop. I get in trouble. Amen. Watch this again. Here go our word again. Let me read this again. I know y'all. I know I'm repetitive. Let me read verse 10 again because it just shares the moment. All believers ought to be walking in power. This is bearing fruit here. We're talking about bearing fruit. Some people think bearing fruit is just leading people to Christ. Oh, this invite a friend, invite a friend. Well, that's the pastor's way of filling up the church. See? When you got 500 members and you're getting $5 a head, you're still making money.
Yeah.
You get 500 members, you're getting a dollar a head. You know, some of them going to throw in two, some of them going to throw in 10. You have a few that's going to throw in a couple hundred.
Amen.
So, you know, the more people. That's just gross revenue. That's not bearing fruit. Bearing fruit isn't making money. Who'd have thought? You go to Georgia, and the wealthiest men in Georgia is preachers. Who'd have thought?
Amen.
Who'd have thought that you could preach the same gospel that got all the disciples' heads cut off? And now you ride around in a $400,000
Bentley.
What's wrong with that picture?
Yeah.
There's something wrong with that. Wait a minute. John, Mark, Andrew, Philip, James, Bartholomew. All got the all of them was martyred. And now we got preachers living in $5 million palaces and driving Bentleys. That ye may walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing. This is Colossians 1 and 10. I know I'm stuck on it. Being fruitful in every good work and increasing in knowledge, in the knowledge of God. Watch this. This is bearing fruit. Being strengthened with all might. There's our word. Power. According to His power. You get your power from Him. Somebody said it. Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, who empowers me with what? His glorious power unto all patience and long suffering with joyfulness. Now you got some patience. I know, Sylvia, you don't like that word patience, but God will give you the patience that it takes to get through a crisis. It takes patience to get through a situation. See, sometimes we want to move too fast, and sometimes we want to move ahead of God. Sometimes we just need to lay in that thing. We just need to sit in there for a minute and get the full teaching of that crisis. Because we all grow in adversity. Ain't nobody growing in good times.
Amen.
That's why he says long suffering and joyfulness. How about that? Patience and long suffering with joyfulness. Are you bearing fruit? Or are you artificial? Are you engrafted in? How about that? Are you engrafted in? Are you engrafted in? You know, if you engraft an apple branch into a peach branch tree, a peach vine or tree, that apple is still going to produce apples. Okay? And that peach is still going to produce peach. But if you take a lost sinner and engraft him into Jesus Christ, that lost sinner now has a new nature. And he's not going to produce sin. I didn't say he wasn't going to sin. There's a difference. But therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. All things have passed away. You ought to be able to look back on your life from the time you were saved, the time God saved you, and you ought to see some stuff that's passed away. Now everything ain't gonna pass away.
Right.
Some folks just gonna struggle. Some things you just gonna struggle with the rest of your life. That's okay.
Amen.
You're in good company because Paul struggled with some stuff all the way through his life. Let me show you, because some folks don't believe that. Some folks believe once you get saved, you are sinless, you are perfect. Look at Romans 7:25, and I'm 7:21, and I'm just going to flow through it. You can turn to it if you want. Paul, at the height of his apostolic ministry, this is the Apostle Paul. He's an apostle. This is not Paul coming down Damascus Road. This is Paul.
Yes.
Saved.
Yes.
Then traveled all through Macedonia teaching the gospel message. Then stood in front of, in the courts of Ephesus. This is Paul. He says in verse 21, then I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. But I see another law in my members. Uh-oh. Warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members.
Yes.
Amen.
Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin. Let me tell you something. Every Christian in here is struggling with sin.
Yeah.
Now, the Christian that says they're not struggling with sin is in trouble. Because if you're not struggling with it, you lay down with it. You in bed with it. You don't even care about it no more. Listen, if you truly saved, you're struggling with sin. Oh, you're struggling with sin. Oh, I hope y'all don't think y'all's pastor ain't struggling with sin. Struggle with sin. You're going to struggle your way throughout your life as long as you're in the flesh. That's why the Word of God says flesh and blood shall not enter the kingdom of heaven. You're coming out of this.
Right.
You're coming out of this flesh.
Right.
Thank the Lord.
Amen.
You're coming out of this flesh.
Amen.
You have to. We talked about last week about the man who stood up at the wedding garment. He hadn't come out of his flesh. Showed up on his own. He showed up in his regular clothes. And God said, oh man, you're in the wrong place.
Right.
He said, bind him and tie him up and cast him out into outer darkness. You can't show up in God's presence in your flesh. God cannot look upon sin. God expects a saved individual to bear fruit. And there should be a progression. In our fruit bearing. There should be a progression in our fruit bearing. And the first step of fruit bearing is sanctification. Sanctification. Sanctification, that is, we become how? like God, like Christ. We're walking different. We're walking in a newness of life. And it's a continual thing. You're not sanctified one time and you got it all together. It's a day by day process. And you ought to be getting better, not worse. And then again, the second point is spirituality. Okay? We ought to be more like Him. Let me turn to Galatians 5. I know I'm flipping Galatians 5 real quick. Familiar verse. See, one day we're gonna have it all up on screen. I'm gonna have Jeremy pop it. He'd be, here it is. Flow right through. Look at Galatians. We want to be like Jesus. This is a walk of salvation, 5 and 22. Talk about the fruit bearing fruit.
Right.
Okay, he said, but the fruit of the Spirit. Number one on the list. Love. Love. Get the lemon out your mouth.
Right.
I heard a preacher say, you know, he walked into church. He had a glass of milk. He walked into church. He was so cold. When he left, he had yogurt. He said, but get the fruit. He said, get the fruit of the Spirit. And the first evidence of a Spirit-filled life is love. Love. Then the second one is joy. It ought to be a joy to come to be in the house of God. It ought to be a joy to be in the presence of God. It ought to be a joy to hear God's word preached. It ought to be a joy to hear God's word sung.
Yes.
It ought to be a joy to fellowship with God's people. Mm-hmm. Love, joy, and then peace. You have that. Imagine not coming to church for weeks and weeks and weeks. Not knowing the Lord. And something tragic happens. Where's your peace? I've done funerals. I've been to funerals. And folks, I mean, and folks in Newton Falls, if they don't know the Lord. If they don't know the Lord. 5 family members gunned down. If they don't know the Lord. I'm not saying they don't know what they do. I'm just saying if they don't. Now they got to go out. And they got to go out and find a preacher, find a church, and tell the preacher about their loved ones because the preacher don't know them. Try to make up some story that they was wonderful and they didn't deserve to die. Listen, everybody deserves to die.
Amen.
Amen.
We bury everybody. Like I say, heaven is just open to everybody. Everybody going to heaven and hell shut down. Boarded up. Hell boarded up. Grass growing all around it. For sale sign, book down for sale sign in front of it. Hell just shut down.
Yeah.
Nobody there. Hey, I just want to see you. Hell been closed for years. Nobody going to hell no more. You turn on TV. Listen to preachers. They don't preach on hell no more. People don't want to hear about no hell. Well, church, you do. James Brown had it right. Listen, the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, long suffering. Are you long suffering? Are you able to suffer long? Are you able to hang in there? I know some of y'all are. I know Claire hanging in there. She's long suffering this week. And last week, that kitchen committee, long suffering.
Amen.
2 weeks, long suffering.
Amen.
Reverend Jones, I got to work on your long suffering. Gentleness. It takes gentleness to deal with unsaved folks.
Yes,
gentleness. You got to be gentle when you're dealing with fragile folks. Folks coming to church, they fragile. You don't know what they're going through. You don't know what they're going through. You sit up in here, you got the happy suit on, the happy face on, and they going through all hell. And they come to church.
Amen.
We need to be gentle. And then we need goodness. We need goodness. We need to be good folks. We ought to be the best folks. We ought to be the best folks on the job. We ought to be the best neighbors. We ought to be the best co-workers. I mean, we ought to be the best. And then he says faith. Got to have faith. And faith is the substance of things what? Hope for. And evidence of things not seen. We ought to have faith. All the church is without faith. And we can't raise it. We ain't doing it. And we got that building fund. We can't plan nothing. You know, I told y'all about the Chinese man that came to America. He's getting on the plane going back to America, going back to China. And they said, what impressed you about the American church? And he said, man, let me tell you something. Y'all can do so much over here without God. That was his answer. I'm just amazed how much the American church can do without the Holy Ghost. Oh, we great at raising money. We great at raising money. Let's finish this lesson. You bearing fruit? Are you sanctified? Are you living a sanctified life? I know y'all, brother, he Pentecostal. No, I'm not Pentecostal. Y'all let the Pentecostal take all the Holy Ghost and the sanctification. Eat all that stuff. Baptist folks, oh, the Holy Ghost. Ooh, you know, they say that word at Mount Calvary. You mean Mount Calvary? Mount Calvary ought to say it. The Methodist Church ought to say it.
Amen.
The Lutheran Church ought to say it. The Catholic Church ought to say it. Everybody needs to be sanctified. Growing in godliness. Are you growing in godliness? That's what it all boils down to. How about spirituality? Are you behaving like Christians?
Amen.
Last one, souls. Souls. Do you have a burden for lost souls? Are you sick and tired of seeing folks just dying and going to hell? Are you sick and tired of it? We just watch the loved ones just die and go to hell. We ought to be sick of it.
Yes.
Sick of it. I know I am. Let me give you four keys to abiding in Christ and I'm going to be done. Like I said, the brakes don't do nothing. All they do is abide in Christ. That branch is in a relationship with Christ. A loving relationship. That branch is in a loving relationship with the vine. And if that branch becomes disconnected, what happens? Oh, look out of your backyard. Some of y'all got trees and all these storms going through. Well, look at them branches on the ground. When they first hit the ground, they had some life in them. They were still a little fresh. But after that sun hit them for a couple of days, they just curling up. See, that's how we do as Christians. Some of us just curling up. We just rusting away. Oh, I've done that already. Let the young folks do it. Listen, you better wear yourself out. I better rust out than wear out. I mean, I'd rather wear out than rust out. Some of y'all like the 10 men in the Wizard of Oz just sitting there. And I'm going to stay with the 10 men. But some of us like that. We ain't doing nothing. And the body just shutting down. Jesus came to a synagogue one day in Matthew and he preached it and a man came up to him with a withered hand. How you hanging with him? He ain't doing nothing. He wasn't doing nothing. Hand withered up. I used to, when I worked out, them young dudes be in the gym, they be taking testosterone. I don't want to get too graphic with this. But you have a certain body parts that produce testosterone. So, but when you start taking testosterone artificially, shooting it in, guess what happens to the area that produces testosterone? It shut down and withered up. I'm all right, Dave. Dave, get on me. My daughter. I get too graphic. But if you don't use it, you lose it. So you know you got these guys running around. Big 255, I lift all these weights. And that area is not producing anymore. It's just withered up. Alrighty.
Alright.
Forgive me for the graphic illustration, but I was just trying to make a point. Okay. Artificial. Got an artificial body. You know, walking around an artificial body. Alrighty. Four keys to abiding in Christ. Whew. Lord, forgive me. Alright, Rita, I hear you. I must draw my life from Him. Okay? That's what Philippians 4:13. It just flows through the body. Bible. Okay? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So the key to abiding in Christ is that everything you do flows from Him, not from you. Okay? I must yield my will to Him. For me to live is Christ, I must yield my will. It's going to cost you something to live for God. Mm-hmm. It's going to cost you something. It may cost you your fishing boat, your bowling leagues, your golf club membership. God's going to make some demands on you. And we got a lot of stuff that's more important in our life than serving Jesus. I must allow Jesus to live through me and draw my strength from Him.
Amen.
Now that's an easy one. That's an easy one to distinguish. Is Christ living through you?
Yes, sir.
Is He living through you? And remember, the quality of the fruit is none of your business. You just a branch. Your job is to be connected to the vine. And the vine produces the nutrients for you to produce fruit. It's not up to you. So you ain't got to be super saint coming here and doing 9 different things. And you know, we steal a lot from Roman Catholicism, like penance. We got to do all these works to get to heaven. No. Well, by grace are you saved through faith. And not of yourself. It's a gift of God.
Amen.
Not by works. You're not working your way into heaven. Okay?
Amen.
You can play the drums, the organ, sing in the choir, and you can come in here and sweep the floors and mop and the parking lot and do all that. You got to abide in Christ.
Amen.
You have to abide in Christ. Okay, as we close. Wow, time really flies. Are you in the vine? I guess there's only 3 questions I got closed. Are you in the vine? And I guess what I'm saying, are you saved? And it's not just, well, you know, I go to church. I'm not talking about that. Have you been born again? Now, I'm not talking about you've been baptized. Okay? I'm not talking about that. Have the scriptures become real to you? Has God opened up the scripture to you for you can see that you are a lost sinner? Okay? And if you come to a point where you want to confess that sin, and now you want to get right with God, and now you have to accept the Calvary's work, the work that Jesus done on Calvary's cross. Have you been there? I say it all the time. I copy it from Paul Washer. He says, salvation is a supernatural act of God. Whereby a man becomes a new creature. Old things have passed away and all things have become new. And we're not talking about formulas. We're not talking about New Year's resolutions. All that crazy stuff we do. Have you been saved? Has there come a time in your life where you know something happened to you and you're not the same? I don't want to live in sin no more. I don't want to live in sin. I don't want to live like this no more. I want to be right with God, and if God came to get me today, I could say, take me. I'm yours. Are you abiding in the vine? Are you abiding in the vine? Are you drawing strength from the Word of God, from the people of God, from the house of God, from the songs and the music and the entertainment that you listen to? Are you drawing strength from it? That's interesting, isn't it?
Amen.
You're not drawing a whole lot of strength from HBO. Have the gardener perform his purifying and pruning ministry in your life. That's a good one there.
Yeah.
Oh, you'll know if you've been pruned. You'll know if you've been pruned. You'll know if God has dealt with your physical body. You'll know if God has dealt with your spiritual body. Have you been washed in the blood of the Lamb? That's good stuff. That's timely. That's necessary. And you may be doing well in those areas, but it's good to take notes and share with your loved ones. When they tell you they are saved, you'll be able to say, son, daughter, cousin, mommy, uncle, daddy. Here's what it means to be saved. It don't mean walking the aisle. It don't mean coming down this aisle, sitting in one of them chairs, and going home and breaking hell wide open. Are you saved?